You're a girl in this vicinity. I'm a dog without a collar on. And this cattle market cabaret is the Sabbath every Saturday. I'm full of wit and chivalry until you've given in to me. I'm a dog without a collar on. You're a girl in this vicinity.
Hey guys, it's episode 587 of All Time Top 10. Tis the season to bite things. Things like candy, perhaps, or maybe your neighbor's throat. Happy Halloween to one and all. And as is tradition around here, we're presenting another spooky episode just in time for All Hallows Eve, our 12th Halloween special. Enter the great Matt Dinan, of course, and this time followed by his partner in crime and co-producer of the soon-to-be-legendary YouTube animated monster anthology series, Bits and Bytes Cartoon Show. And in honor of that show, which features many voice talents that are familiar to longtime listeners of this show, by the way, in honor of that show, we are counting down our favorite songs that bite. Matt and Melanie help us bring it on home with picks 5 through 1 in part 2. If you missed Songs That Bite part 1, get on it immediately wherever you get your podcasts. Anyway, on the social medias, we're having a blast doing some music polls, like for the bonus track of the week and for polls in service of the seemingly endless rollout of songs in the ATTT 1000, aka the 1000 greatest songs we've ever heard. This week, we are deep in the heart of late 70s punk and new wave and ska in the UK. At number 706, it's Joe Jackson with I'm the Man. I was asking you guys what's the best song about con artists. Some good stuff from you guys here. Step Right Up from Tom Waits. Cake with Comfort Eagle. Have a Cigar. Jeff Healey, Confidence Man. XTC, I Bought Myself a Liar Bird. Queen, Death on Two Legs. Stevie Wonder, You Haven't Done Nothing. And many more. But we love Joe Jackson. We love I'm the Man. And our friend Marcel Grisner on Instagram says this title track to Joe Jackson's sophomore effort and its cover, the album cover, perfectly encapsulates the so-called spivs that were a feature of working class life of the UK at the time. It also heralded a cracking album chock full of energy, first-rate musicianship, and some banging tunes. Shout out also to Rain Perry and Nina Jo Smith, who helped us feature that song back in episode 279, Top 10 Songs for Donald Trump, Part 2, Volume 2. And Rain and Nina say hello. So we're saying hello back to you guys. Thanks, guys. At number 705, it is The Specials with Ghost Town. I was asking you guys, what's the all-time greatest second wave ska band, the two-tone ska scene? You guys had good suggestions, of course. Madness, The English Beat, The Selector, Bad Manners, and Arthur Kay's Originals. But for a lot of people, The Specials are the cream of the crop in that camp. Our friend Opperman, Chris Opperman, I should say, on Instagram says, full agree with Ghost Town. Steph Valley says, agreed. Terry Hall is one of my heroes. Check out the Color Field album from 1985 and the two solo albums he recorded in the mid-90s. Thank you, Steph. David Fryer says, great pick. Such a clever way to critique Thatcher's Britain with Ghost Town. And Colin Whitley says, it's not even close. The Specials were the only one of those two-tone groups who seemed to understand the context of first wave ska and rocksteady and how that music reflected economic, racial, and political issues of its day. Similarly, The Specials addressed all that was wrong with Britain in the late 1970s and perfectly blended 60s-era ska with the desperation and attitude of 70s punk. The Specials were the real deal. Thank you, Colin. And last but not least, at number 704, it is The Clash with Clampdown. Shout out to the boys from Data Maps, by the way. We performed that one live at one of those tribute nights. Clampdown, really fun play. And I was asking you guys, what's the best song from London Calling besides the title track? And lots of good suggestions here. Lost in the Supermarket, Train in Vain, Stand By Me, Revolution Rock, The Guns of Brixton, Spanish Bombs, Rudy Can't Fail, Hateful, Death or Glory, The Card Cheat, and Brand New Cadillac. But we love Clampdown. Clampdown comes in at number 704. Those three are now added to the playlists. The playlists that are ever growing every week, several times a week. They keep growing. Find them at Spotify and YouTube and follow along. I think it's this project is going in fun places. So keep it going with your interactions with us on social media. Let us know what you think of these songs, because it's all about the songs, everybody. Anyway, speaking of songs that bite, part two coming up right now with our friends Matt and Melanie. Roll the tape.
There's the Fat Lady's Arms. On Wednesdays, they do like a Fear Factor competition. You can win like t-shirts and hats and spot prizes.
I can smell werewolves.
We're just about to walk past a werewolf, so some shit might go down.
Look out, guys. Don't catch fleas.
What's that, mate?
Sorry, what?
Keep going. Keep walking.
What?
Keep
walking. We heard that, mate. We've got sensitive hearing.
Have you?
Yeah.
What are you filming? It's a music video, is it?
We don't want any trouble.
Well, I do.
Why did you start it?
Have I got your heckles up, huh? Why don't you girls smell your own crotches, huh?
Come on.
What are you talking about? We don't smell our own crotches. We smell each other's crotches, and it's a form of greeting.
You're on camera, mate. Don't do it.
What? It's okay, because I know this guy. It's Count Fagula.
Hey, don't swear.
Sorry, they
We're werewolves.
Not swear.
What are we?
Werewolves, not swearwolves.
No, it's a very offensive word to call people.
Well, unless you're talking about a bundle of sticks.
Chase, this bundle of sticks. Werewolves?
Don't get it.
No, it's not real.
It's not real.
Right. He's just going to take off his gloves.
All right.
Oh,
shit, man. The fuck you do that for?
Hey! Don't swear. We're going to lose it.
Whoa. Hey, calm down.
Oh, shit,
I'm stuck on my glasses.
Do the breathing. Count to 10, mate.
Hold it.
Come on.
Human again.
Hold it.
Count to 10. Human
again. It's all right. It's not full moon. Thanks a lot, guys. Enjoy your night.
Shame to yourselves, man.
Great. We didn't want this to happen. Come on, guys.
Hey, say it. Don't spray it, bitch.
Top 10 Songs That Bite, Part 2.
Slow. Stand right on my leg. Stand right. Look up there. Stand right on my leg. Stand right. Cause the daily do the realization of you are an navigation.
And we're back. Hey, everybody. Thanks for coming back to join us for part two. Thanks for waiting for us for a week. We've been here for a week waiting to tape this thing. And, was it fun for you guys? It was fun for me.
No, I enjoyed it.
After about the fourth day, it kind of got a little...
I really didn't think it was necessary. I'm not sure why we had to be method like that.
It's method, man.
But I mean...
Method man.
It was kind of fun.
For a while, yeah. I mean, you know, you guys lost your jobs because of me, and, you know, I'll make it up to you, I promise. You know how I'll make it up to you? By helping promote... Bits and Bytes cartoon show. Bits and Bytes cartoon. I taped some dialogue for that tonight.
Just tonight? Because now...
A week ago.
There will be dialogue for the character Sayasu, the skeleton in a skeleton suit, because he is voiced by Ben.
That's right.
Thank you, Ben.
You're very welcome. Oh, hey now. Now you're giving a peek behind the curtain.
I don't have anything else to say about that.
That is, of course, what Sayasu the Skeleton in a Skeleton Suit sounds like in the Bits and Bytes cartoon show. Because, yes, we've got some Waka Waka comedy in our...
It's comedy, and it's very funny comedy.
It's a monster sketch show, and it's animated.
I laughed so hard that I'm telling you how hard I laughed.
There you go.
I LOL'd quite a bit. No, it's so clever and funny and cute. The animation, Melanie, you do the animation.
Yep. I use a system called Beyond to do the animation. And for season two, we're looking to maybe step it up. So it might look a little different as I grow in my animation skills. But I think the heart of the show is really there. And I encourage you all to check it out. It's really fun.
And the important word there was I. Like not I don't mean me, I mean her saying listen to me doing exactly what it sounds like I'm doing the opposite. Her saying I mean, because she does the animation by herself,
right?
Like, go check this show out. It is a one woman animation show.
It's pretty great. Like I was shocked at how it just worked so well. You know?
Oh, and
I shouldn't say I was shocked. I was pleased to see. Thank you.
I would accept anything. It's a joy to work on the show, and anything that gets a reaction from someone is beautiful.
Yeah, everyone, please check it out. Of course, I will. Any reaction at all?
be kind. Mm-hmm.
Everyone, check out the show. I will put the link up on the show page.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't necessarily love that reaction either, and yet that really is or was when we first started putting out episodes, that really kind of was the thing. Like almost everybody was like, "Hey, that actually was good." And this kind of
Thank
like,
you.
"Oh, yeah."
I was delighted to see how well it worked. The animation, and then the voices, and then the dialogue, and the writing.
We have all kinds of folks from everywhere
doing
voices on this show, from you and Shannon to Julia and Terry from the Horror Movie Survival Guide show to
Ryan Stockstad, Gabe Scalone. Some of your pals that you've heard on the podcast.
I was just going to say, too, a friend of mine, Jim Schoberg, back in Pittsburgh, who was like the theater guy who did the Fright Night stage adaptation.
Yeah. Any Tony Ross fans out there? He's on the show.
And Tony Ross, of course, on the show as well.
Yeah. So, yeah, everyone check it out.
Oh, and we can't forget that there's music. They're not just the theme song that we've been badly singing ourselves, but an actual really good theme song done by Shannon, and she does other music for the show as well. So when certain characters come up, they've got little theme songs done by Shannon.
The great Shannon Hurley.
The talented Shannon Hurley. Thank you.
Yep. Any other names? I know there was a couple more.
Oh, I got Jed Alanyo, of course, is Dr. Neckbeard. And Rachel is the Deirdre, actress Rachel Golden is Deirdre the Demon Vlogger.
Peter Trulio is Lord Belmont Shores.
Shout out to Hammered, one of our other fine shows on the L.A. Frankenstein channel.
Trending on YouTube.
Is it?
Briefly, it was.
Nice. Keep it up.
Well, no, I take that back, because the word trending is a real thing.
Oh.
That's like
potentially
it's a
trending
specific
on
metric.
YouTube.
I just mean it caught some kind of algorithm and suddenly was getting hundreds of views a day out of the blue.
Well, that's really cool.
But it wasn't like trending. You know what I mean?
Okay.
It was just, it's up to like 30,000 views or something. And
okay.
In Melanie's opinion, it's trending on YouTube.
There we go.
The point is they need you guys to go check it out, because you will have a great time with it.
The only metric I need is the Melanie metric.
Oh, my goodness. Let's get back into our list, folks. Let us talk about our favorite songs that bite. And I have number 5. So I like when the other team or the other guest goes first. With number 10, because that means I get 3 out of the last 5.
Go.
Greedy, greedy.
Bonus shout out to...
You sure you're not biting off more than you can chew?
You can freaking bite me. All right. Bonus shout out to David Bowie. Exciting news. Our good friend Gabe Scalone, we were just talking about, who happens to be a Bowie super fan, will be joining All Time Top 10 soon for Top 10 David Bowie Albums. And I'm going to go on a Bowie deep dive very soon. I'm going to listen to all the Bowie albums. All of them.
All of them?
That's a commitment.
I think there's like 25 or something. Yeah. So the reason I bring Bowie up is because he wrote the song that made this next artist famous. All the Young Dudes was written for Ian Hunter and his band Mott the Hoople. And from 1969 to 1974, Mott the Hoople put out 7 albums. and then became simply Mott after Ian Hunter left. His self-titled debut album came out in 1975 and was produced by Bowie's legendary guitarist Mick Ronson. The lead single and lead-off track, Once Bitten, Twice Shy, was Ian's first and last solo UK top 20 hit. And as we know, it was covered by Great White in 1989.
What?
And was a number five hit. The song, Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Is it terrible that I didn't know that the one was a cover?
No. Oh, no. Most people don't, I think, know that it's a cover. It's the Great White version is way more famous.
I think I'm validating a lot of people out there right now. So, all right.
No, the Great White version is the definitive version to most people just because they don't know about the original.
No, that's fair.
It's fine.
It's fair.
But I want to play the Ian Hunter version, if that's okay.
Do it.
We love new things here.
I was wondering if you would be...
It's a steal.
Okay. Oh. Yeah. But you were going to play the Great White version?
No, I was also going to play the Ian Hunter version, but mentioned the Great White version and just did nobody ever hears this version, and I'm not saying it's better, but let's check it out instead.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's better. You judge for yourself. I really like it. But let us listen to Once Bitten, Twice Shy, Ian Hunter and Great White. Thanks to our friends Douglas, Susan, David, Chrissy, and Bill. They say, Once Bitten, Twice Shy. Number five.
Number five. Once Bitten, Twice Shy.
Hello.
Well, I was going to say before, I realized as you were doing your intro there that really must make Ian Hunter the Hoople.
Yeah. Okay, absolutely.
If Mott the Hoople went back to Mott when he left, he's the Hoople.
I'm sure he would be okay with you calling him a hoople.
What if he got together with the Blowfish?
Remember Deadwood? Where Swearinger would call everyone like a hooplehead?
Yeah.
You fucking hooplehead. Sorry, Mrs. Eisen. It's Deadwood. You have to swear.
You can't even do a review of Deadwood without at least, you know, putting the word fuck in once or twice. Actually, cocksucker. You have to put the word cocksucker.
Cocksucker.
Every third line, or it's not properly Deadwood.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's poetic swearing on that show. You know? Here's one more thing from imsoclever.com.
Oh, we're back to the
werewolves.
Okay, so I'm not fully into those last two werewolf facts, in so much as some werewolves occasionally, only rarely, but occasionally can transform at will.
And I did say it's a terrible article.
And not every werewolf is just a curse or just a birth, but continue on. Let's hear the next two.
This one's just one. It's because it's a longer one. Though there is no definitive evidence on how long ago werewolves became part of folklore, one theory suggests that it dates back at least 3,100 years ago, based on an ancient Greek legend about King Lycaon, who served human flesh at his table for dinner guests and was punished by Zeus, turning him into a wolf-like creature after he tried to kill one of his own sons because he had saved some meat aside for himself. Man, the past was messed up.
Zeus was messed up.
Yeah.
It sounds right to me.
So you're okay with that fact? That was a pretty decent one.
That's actually, that one sounds legit. Like, I know there are a few actual, yes, Greek myths of some sort where,
3,100 years, that's a long time ago.
But is it the transform, if it's just turned into a wolf, or is it turning back and forth from human to wolf as a true werewolf?
It was a very primitive version of
origin
it, so they probably didn't have all those details
it.
Worked out, I'm just guessing.
Okay.
And sometimes it was literally that you would pull the skin on and off.
Ew.
Ew.
And that even as a human, you were never... Like, you could often tell a werewolf because they had hairy palms. You know, and they had sallow eyes, or they had, you know, there were a number of things you could look for.
We both looked at our
pointy ears. Yeah, they both suddenly checked. Are you two not sure if you're werewolves?
I got hair on the other side.
Then top is okay. Top is okay. Palms is not great.
It puts hair on your palms is a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's like if you eat lots of horseradish or something. Anyway, sorry. We're not werewolves.
Do not drink water from a wolf's footprint under a full moon.
Is that what it is?
You will become a werewolf for sure. I mean, that's just a thing. Sometimes witchcraft can do it.
It's just science, people. All right, let's go to number four. What do you guys got?
All right, so we're going to one of mine. I found this band because it was influenced and collaborated with another favorite band of mine. So I found Rilo Kiley first.
Oh, Jenny Lewis.
Jenny Lewis.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
she's so cool.
She is so cool. And Blake Sinnott.
Right.
Blake Sinnott.
Rilo Kiley.
So Rilo Kiley. And they collabed with another band, which has gone by a few different names, but always with the essence of Whispertown. Hmm. So you might know them as Whispertown 2000 or The Whispertown 2000.
Yeah, that name, I don't know, 2000.
That's why they dropped it. So
Whispertown 2000.
So now just Whispertown.
That's like a computer from the 1980s.
Yeah.
The new Whispertown 2000.
Well, it sounds like there was a movie in 82 called like Whispertown. And then this is the remake, but this is the sequel that takes place in the future where it's Whispertown 2000.
In the year
2000.
Anyway, sorry.
Well, they are actually an indie band from Los Angeles.
Yeah.
And the main person is Morgan Nagler. She has very distinctive vocal quality. I'm excited to share with all of you. And currently the other band member is Jake Bellows, but it's had a few iterations throughout the years. So that's the current members. Very excited to present to you Whispertown, Bite Into a Peach, from their parallel album released in 2012.
I'm so glad that you guys are going this way because my picks are all obvious.
Do werewolves like peaches?
This is good stuff.
I'm going to have to think about this.
Well, I like where this is going. Let's check it out. Number 4.
Number 4.
Bit into a peach.
Dropped it sometime between 2008 and 2012.
Okay.
In between albums.
That's cool, man. Whispertown.
Whispertown.
2000.
Mm-hmm. Bit into a peach.
Bit into a peach. It's called Bit into a Peach. You heard the numbers, girl, correctly. And we are correcting ourselves because it's not bite into a peach, it's bit.
I wrote it down wrong.
You know what's great though? I was really annoyed that there were so many songs that had the word bit in the title, but not in the way that we want it. The other kind of bit. This is actually the real deal, you know?
I think you were just Chomper. Being in the moment. You were just being present. Like the song is all like past, but you were present.
Yeah. What?
You want to bite, not bit.
No, bit is like, as in give a little bit, is like a completely different word.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's the same word, but it's a different meaning.
No, it's a completely different word.
Bit from bit?
It's just spelled the same. Bit and bit. Anyway, thank you for that. That was really cool.
Happy to introduce.
We were watching the video, too. It's you said it's public domain, an old
Alice in Wonderland?
Alice in Wonderland. From like 1940 something, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, no, it's worth really the check cool. out. Always happy think? To promote the bands I really like. So Whispertown.
Whispertown.
2000.
Possibly 2000.
Thank you for that.
Yeah.
Let's go to number 3, and a big time shout out to John Deacon.
John Deacon.
I told you all my picks are the super obvious ones. So.
Well, but you got it. I mean, this is a must have though too. You gotta put this one on the list, or it's not the right list. You know.
That's right. So, yeah.
Who's John Deacon again? Oh my God,
he's the bass player for Queen.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah, he's the bass player for Queen, and one of the coolest things about Queen, in my opinion, is that all four members of the band wrote songs, and all four of them wrote a number one hit.
Ah.
Yeah, and this one was written by John Deacon, the bass player, which makes sense because. Another One Bites the Dust is all about that bass line.
All about that bass. About line. That bass.
Line. About the bass line. And Deacon was definitely influenced by Chic and the song Good Times and Rapper's Delight. You know that bass line?
Duncan Chic?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he was totally influenced by that.
And
You Don't Stop. That's right. Here's some movie trivia for you guys from Song Facts. During production of the movie Rocky III, the song Another One Bites the Dust was used in a key scene where Rocky is training for a fight. Producers could not get permission to use the song, so Sylvester Stallone hired Survivor to write an original song instead, which nice. Turned out to be... Dun, 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 dun. Dun, 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 dun. In case you didn't know what we were talking about,
there is something funny though about them wording it like in a key workout scene. Half the movie is workout scenes. I don't know if there's a key one because there's a lot of them. But, okay.
Oh, it's been 20 minutes. We got to have another workout scene. There he goes.
They're training a lot in that movie.
Got to train.
You got to have a montage.
You got
exactly. It's a Rocky movie. They specialize in them. A montage. And he's got to bulk up to beat Mr. T.
Yeah, but he doesn't. Oh, spoiler.
Oh.
Wait, is that right? I can't remember.
Well, he doesn't, then he does.
I don't know.
He's got to come back.
That's right. We're spoiling the whole thing for everybody.
Mr. T kills the penguin.
Danny DeVito?
No, proper, not proper penguin, but Burgess Meredith.
I know. Anyway.
Proper penguin.
Probably intentional. Unless someone did an excellent splicing job. The Another One Bites the Dust line quite clearly says... Decide to smoke marijuana, or it's fun to smoke marijuana when played backwards. Okay. So here you go. Just decide for yourself.
Did they need to go to court?
No, they didn't, as far as I know. But check this out. This is the end part backwards. But every time he says another one bites the dust, it sounds like this backwards.
No, I can definitely hear it.
It's fun to smoke marijuana.
Marijuana.
I don't think they planned for that.
No, but you know, when you say it, it's there. Sure.
Have you heard the Stairway to Heaven thing, right? The whole Satan thing? Oh, I'm going to have to play that for you later. Anyway, let's listen to Another One Bites the Dust by Queen.
Nice.
Which is currently number 3 on our list of top 10 songs that bite. This one goes out to Trisha, David, Kim, Justin, and Bill. Check it out.
Number 3. Another One Bites the Dust.
Another one.
think they would come up with a better way than
Sad Saint.
All right. Anyway, let's pretend that we just listened to another One Bites the Dust. All right. Woo! That was great. That's number three.
Hey.
We all know that song. We didn't need to hear it again. But anyway, thanks.
We all need to hear it again.
Well,
we
just did.
Can't never not hear it again.
We just did. Bonus shout out to Weird Al. Weird Al Yankovic, who had his first charting single with Another One Rides the Bus. And then here's a couple more of those really lame werewolf facts. Right? Although the last one, you liked it. You liked the last one.
Hey, he's going to sit by you. Another One Rides the Bus.
And another one's on. Yeah. All right. So werewolf legends date back to ancient Greece and Rome, as well as medieval Europe. The most famous... Okay, this is pretty lame. The most famous fictional account of becoming a werewolf is when Professor Lupin turns into his wolf form every full moon in Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. There you go. I never saw it.
I mean,
is it true?
I cannot.
Is that the most famous?
I was just gonna say it's. Shit.
Admit it, Matt. You just recently watched that too. You have to.
I haven't seen any of those.
My thinking is just. I almost do have to just say that might even be the most popular. Like maybe even
because so many people have seen those movies.
And Lupin, I mean, come on.
Yeah, but to me, it's I guess the Wolfman, the classic Wolfman, or American Werewolf.
Didn't it say literally?
I think American Werewolf in London is mine.
Fictional account,
unless it's Teen Wolf.
Just fictional account.
Teen Wolf, yeah, of course.
Teen Wolf.
I don't know.
Shout out to Teen Wolf. That's a callback from last week.
Harry Potter's just so popular. Like, I don't want to say, I want to say Lon Chaney Jr., of course.
Yeah.
Then with a side of John Landis and another side of Joe Dante, the Howling American Werewolf, of course, because that's the Holy Trinity of werewolf movies.
The Holy Trinity. I didn't know there was one.
Well, yeah, that's the Holy Trinity of werewolf movies. That's what I say anyway. Because you got your werewolf, and your whole thing.
You know, I've never seen The Howling. Don't beat me up.
Oh,
I know. I've always wanted to. I just never.
We may have to remember.
Got
that.
Around to it.
What's the one with the great scene in the living room?
Happy Halloween,
American
Werewolf.
By
the way. Oh,
Happy Halloween!
The
everybody.
Big transformation.
Yeah, we watched
That's
American
beautiful.
Werewolf.
It's unbelievable.
It's incredible. And I'm not into those transformation scenes, and it was amazing.
Yeah, you could feel his pain.
Oh, it made me wince and cringe in all of the right, wrong ways.
Yep. Anyway, creature effects, man. Always going to be better than CGI. It's just, you're never going to recreate that. Anyhow, shall we move to number two? Happy Halloween?
I mean, sure. If you really... You don't want me to go on about werewolves for another 10 minutes? Because I could keep going for a while.
I knew if I threw some of those facts out there, I'd get some...
You would get some dine-in reaction.
Yeah, which was what we want, you know. What's number two?
Well, since you swiped the other one that I was going to do...
Swipe!
I will instead go... I'm kicking into gear. I'm going straight into three-speed.
Three-speed.
Three-speed is,
what?
Half-speed?
Three-speed.
Three-speed
Do not listen to this show in 2x speed or 1.5 speed, by the way. If you guys do that, I'll be so mad. Especially if you listen to the music that way. If you do that, you suck.
Anyway, proper attention.
Yes. Go on.
Three-speed is...
three-speed. Is that a bicycle? Dude, I got a three-speed.
A bad one.
I had a 10-speed.
Ooh, yeah, fancy.
I was bougie.
Three-speed, go ahead.
Sorry.
Just brag about how great our bikes are, sure.
I had a Huffy once.
Well, if you were the movie Once Bitten, you would only be able to afford a three-speed. That is the band Three Speed with singer Linda Chase.
Linda Chase.
They're a Boston band who apparently sent their demo to somebody in LA, and they immediately got signed.
Oh, cool.
And then they were never allowed to make an album.
Oh, no.
They instead kept getting like farmed out to movies.
No way.
So despite not having an album as the band Three Speed, they did do singles for Once Bitten, which we will hear today.
Is it the title track?
The movie Rad. The movie Rad. Savage Streets with Linda Blair. And Voyage of the Rock Aliens.
Wow.
So they've got a quartet of like B-movie like gloriousness.
Yeah.
But, that's really cool. Yeah, for some reason their label never actually let them release a full album.
Stupid label.
So, but they one of their songs is on here just in the background, and then they also then titled or also then recorded the title track to Once Bitten.
Nice.
If you do not know this, this is a 1985, I could have that wrong, movie starring Lauren Hutton, former model turned actress, and this Canadian squirrely kid who got his first starring role in this named Jim Carrey.
Hey!
And he is a horny teenager in the just exact 80s mold of horny 80s teenagers. Of like,
oh, that's so great.
He and his other two little dorky buddies just want to get laid. That's
Is it worth seeing?
It is, yeah. It's totally, it's fun.
All right, I'm done.
And, it's been described as Jim Carrey before he became Jim Carrey.
Yes, exactly. It's not. Yeah. This is before.
Well, yeah, you said it was like In Living Color
and everything. Yeah, this is before he really was as big and.
It's funny
cartoony
that
cartoony that you would expect.
It seems
to
me,
you know?
Like In Living Color was when most people had heard of him. But he'd been doing stuff for like 5 years before that.
Yeah.
Crazy.
So anyway, this is him starring. And so he and his buddies go down to Hollywood and try and pick up some girls. And they happen to run into a vampire who picks him up and starts biting his buttons off and sucking blood out of his thigh and seducing him. And eventually there's a whole dance battle at the high school dance where his girlfriend's got to save him. And I don't know, it's got a great like... Can he lose his virginity by midnight? Sort of ending where the vampires are fighting. It's a whole thing.
Huh.
But anyway, so the title track to this is called Once Bitten, as you'll hear.
All right. Check it out. What's the artist again?
Three Speed.
Excellent. Check it out. Number two.
Number two. Once Bitten.
Inside the trail, we'll tell.
right, everyone, you are assigned to going to YouTube and watch that video. Once bitten by Three Speed. Yeah, it's so 1985. My goodness,
it's yeah. She's got to look like the hairstylist, like those pictures. Those, I don't even know what they're called. What's that artist? Those overly white drawn hard line, black and white with little flare color and geometric shapes around the eye. You know what I mean? No, you know what
no.
I mean. The hairstylist picture. She looks like she's a hairstylist picture. And then the whole video is set up like the blocky windows guy.
Oh yeah,
is that Hockney?
No,
is
it's the epitome of 1985, for sure. In fashion, in music, all the production, all that stuff. It's fun though, and I must see that movie now. They showed clips of 23-year-old Jim Carrey doing stuff.
It's a pretty good one. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Cool, man. Check it out, everyone. It's number one time.
Oh, what could it be?
Well, we mentioned it earlier, and all I have to say to you folks is, if you've got love in your sights, watch out. Love Bites. It's Love Bites by Def Leppard, of course.
Yeah.
Okay, Def Leppard. It's got to get on the list.
Has to. And yeah, shout out to the amazing Mutt Lange, who managed to make Def Leppard into a larger-than-life arena band simply by producing the living shit out of those records.
Yeah.
I mean, it sounds immaculate. You know?
It's about as big as you can make something sound.
Yeah, exactly. He even played a lot of instruments on those records and sang a lot of the backing vocal. Like on the song Love Bites, all the backing vocal is all Mutt Lange.
Really?
The producer, yeah. That's what I read. So Hysteria is the album. It's 1987. And we were talking about this off the air. Like, it's like such a slow burning success story. You know, like Women was the first single.
Animal, I think, too. Was right? Really?
Animal, yeah. And like One hit number 80. And Women hit number 80. Animal hit number 19.
80.
Hysteria, the title track, hit number 10, and then Pour Some Sugar on Me.
Boom.
Like, number 2 hit, but they got even bigger than that with this song. Love Bites hit number 1.
Oh, really?
The number 1 hit. That's why it has to be our number 1.
I didn't know this was actually a number 1 hit.
It was, yeah.
I mean, I know, again, like we're
saying.
I think
it's their only one. Pretty sure.
Really?
Yeah.
Huge. Okay. I didn't realize.
Huge.
Nothing on a Pyromania track that high.
No, not in the U.S.
Well, yeah, sure. No, I guess it wasn't big yet over here. Like Hysteria was, which was just oversaturated almost.
Yeah, well, then they had 2 more hits after that. Armageddon It hit number 3.
Are you getting it? Yes, I'm getting it.
And then Rocket hit number 12. So they had 7.
I always loved that one, too. I don't know. Yeah. Just... Ivan, as like a 14-year-old or something, I cut a music video to that with NASA clips and shit.
Oh, cool.
Of course you did.
I'm saying, of course I did.
I like how it's a tribute to like David Bowie and all that too.
Yeah, it's like, what the hell is this thing? It's a space song, but it's also basically just like a laundry list of like glitter rock.
Yeah.
It's like Benny and the Jets and Ziggy and Stardust and Sgt. Pepper's, and he's just kind of naming off like...
Yeah.
Glam rock bands and then singing about rockets.
Rocket baby.
Not sure exactly where they got it from.
Come
but
on.
I like it. We gonna fly.
Anyway, yeah. The song is Love Bites.
Oh, well, Love Bites.
And there is another silly urban legend about this recording as well.
Ooh.
You know, there's that vocoder robot voice in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
If you got love in your sights, watch out, Love Bites. That thing. Mm. It repeats at the end, if you recall. And it says something else after that as the song is fading. You can just, if you have it turned all the way up, you can barely hear it. But people were accusing them of having the words, Jesus of Nazareth, go to hell.
Oh, did they go to court?
Wow. No, they did not go to court. The rumor has been refuted by the band, most notably in a Hysteria documentary. The line is, in fact, producer Mutt Lange rambling in a Yorkshire accent to the effect of, yes, it does, bloody hell, with the aid of a vocoder. He's not saying Jesus of Nazareth, go to hell.
See, now the real fun facts from Ben Eisen today have been about Def Leppard and not about werewolves necessarily.
So you're saying those other facts weren't fun?
Not as fun. No, no, they were facts.
They were fun, too.
Quote, unquote, facts.
Well, there's more coming after this.
Awesome. Ooh, even more.
That's right. Let's listen to Love Bites from Def Leppard. It is a very worthy, in my opinion, number one. Shout out to Vanetta, Audrey, David, Justin, Chrissy, and Bill. Number one.
Number one, Love Bites.
If you could live in innocence, watch out. Live nights.
That one's obviously there. Mudlang is a liar. They are obviously saying Jesus is
Nazarene. Go to hell.
That is for sure. I just heard that with my own 2 ears.
I mean, he definitely does say go to hell or something to that effect.
Bloody hell, maybe. Yeah,
bloody hell. But
that was pretty funny.
Do you think they have to
Everyone go listen to the end of that song.
I wonder, with the ones that do need to go to court, are they providing the raw files of things? How do they prove that?
That one never went to court.
I know, but the ones that do...
They did, actually. The, with the Judas Priest thing, they brought in recordings and like played them backwards. And like the prosecutor's like, listen, he's saying, get the gun, kill, kill. Look, he just said it. Listen, listen. You know,
yeah, shoot, shoot.
Shoot,
like
shoot,
that.
Get the... Yeah, whatever it is. So, yeah, they did that in court. Like, so, yeah. Hmm. But they did not win, so screw them.
I want to be on the jury for that.
Oh, yeah.
Are you people insane?
Anyway, a couple more little fun facts here for Matt to pick apart.
Boy, here we go.
In European folklore, it was thought that to kill a werewolf, you should stab them with an object made of silver. Does that sound right?
Yeah.
Well, silver bullets, but stabbing is...
Legends say that werewolves can be killed by silver bullets... garlic or decapitation.
Killed by garlic or just repelled?
Killed. How do you get killed by garlic?
It's like killed by stoning. You just pummel them with the garlic.
Garlic's kind
of
soft.
Stuff it down the throat of the what do you do?
I think you could throw a bunch of garlic at me and I would just be like, ow. Ow, ow, quit it.
Does it
ow.
Burn?
No, generally garlic is in decapitation is, that's a vampire thing. That's not a werewolf thing. Fire and...
silver bullets.
And silver. Even bullets preferably, but you know, you only have a dagger, what you gonna do, you know?
That'd be tough to kill one of those things with a dagger.
Oh, sure.
So the last thing they say is, there is no scientific evidence that werewolves exist outside of folklore and legend.
Well, I don't know if that's true.
That's obviously wrong.
I met a guy at Trader Vic's.
I told
Vic's.
You it was a stupid article.
I met a guy at Trader Vic's and his hair was perfect. And he had this story about London, let me tell you.
Well, you'll be going there soon. Have a good time, guys.
It's going to be anyway,
exciting. And Dallas Cooper tomorrow. Rob Zombie.
Yeah. Anyway, that's our list. Great list, guys. Woo!
Well, thank you, thank you.
Songs that bite. Anyway, we have one more song for you guys to check out, and it is the bonus track of the week for part two, voted on by our friends over there on social media. Check it out right now.
As chosen by our listeners on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, here's the bonus track of the week.
Hey, everybody, it's time for the listener pick bonus track of the week selected by our friends over there on all those social medias. All right, let us thank the great Melanie Larson and our good friend Matt Dine and Mr. Halloween himself for coming through for us for yet another spooky episode. Happy Halloween to all you guys out there. Anyway, there is one more track to play. This is the bonus track of the week for Top 10 Songs That Bite. Part two. These are the songs you guys were voting on over there on social media. We had the Dead Kennedys with Dog Bite. We had Gigi Allen with Bite It, You Scum. We had the Misfits with We Bite. But the winner this week, it is Girl School. And the song is called Love at First Bite. Let's rock out a bit with Girl School. This is fun stuff. I really appreciate it. Thanks so much to Lisa and Lynn for suggesting this one and to everybody that voted for it. Thanks, guys. Here it is, the bonus track of the week for part two, Girl School, Love at First Bite.
Listener pick.
I'm feeling restless on a Saturday.
Bonus track of the week. Thanks everyone for your picks and your votes. All right, guys, it is time for honorable mentions. What have you?
I did have Love Bites, Judas Priest as an alternate. I had Love Bites, Def Leppard as an alternate. I had Bite the Apple by Mother Love Bone.
Yeah,
which is a pretty cool song. I had another one, Bites the Dust, as an alternate, just in case it didn't get on there, because, of course, super classic needed to be in there.
Must be, yeah.
And then I had two Alice Coopers.
No, but I was like, they were Alice Cooper songs, and you didn't play them.
I'm saying I'm shocked. I have some restraint.
A little appalled.
I put them in as alternates.
I'm perturbed,
and, you know, if I could have got to them, maybe I would have put them in.
Disgusted.
But
bewildered.
He has both the semi-recent "I'll Bite Your Face Off."
Jeez. Very aggressive.
And you're going to see him tomorrow night.
Tomorrow night with Rob Zombie.
Good luck. And Ministry.
And then
he
has the 90s song "Snakebite." They call me Snakebite. I will play both for
like
you.
An amazing track. And you didn't pick
no,
it. So.
No, Snakebite's pretty solid. I'll Bite Your Face Off, not as good. But in both cases, I would have put them in. But, you know, I didn't.
Snakebite.
They call me Snakebite. I'm your only man.
Melanie, do you have any?
I had considered putting in the Avril Lavigne. Bite Me.
Yeah.
But I held off, and there was another one, but it fell out of the criteria when we had to remove the
little bit.
So I was going to do, I think it's called A Bit of You by Rufus Wainwright. So love the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's that other bit.
Got cut.
No, sorry, that's fair, Rufus. But I'm very happy with my selections.
Yeah, me too.
I got mauled by the werewolf.
Rufus did?
Sorry, Rufus.
Don't. Anyway.
Oh, but there is a connection with Morgan from Whispertown. She actually did a movie with Loudon Wainwright III, so Rufus's dad.
There you go. Full circle.
Was it a werewolf movie?
No. Actually not.
Why can't things just work out sometimes?
It's because the whole universe is against me. Sorry, that's George,
dying in luck.
George Costanza.
It is.
Shut up. Okay, so I had a couple. I really wanted to play The Hand That Feeds by Nine Inch Nails because I thought it was called Bite the Hand That Feeds. And I was all set to start doing notes. And then I saw that, no, it's actually just called The Hand That Feeds.
Not even with the parentheses, Bite the?
Yeah. No, just, yeah.
No, they should have done that, though.
Yeah, that would have helped.
Bite the. Bite me. So, yeah, I didn't get to play that one because it doesn't qualify. Mm. But I had a couple more. Dog Bite by the Dead Kennedys.
Oh, okay.
It's from their album Plastic Surgery Disasters.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's a really short song. It's very fast. And he basically sings a dog bite on my leg, not right, supposed to beg.
Oh.
It's very funny. I also want to mention Bite My Hip by Bauhaus. Very fun. I was hoping you picked that one.
Oh, and yeah.
Mr. Bauhaus over there. And then The Misfits, of course, We Bite. Another one I was assuming you would go for.
Yeah, I was going lighter.
That one
I guess.
Surprises me.
Yeah, it's weird. Hmm. No worries, though. Lamont Dozier's got an awesome funk track from the 70s called Fish Ain't Biting.
He had some good ones.
Yeah, he was part of Lamont Dozier, or was it Holland Dozier Holland, the songwriting team from Motown. They wrote like tons of Motown hits. He's got his own thing. Fish Ain't Biting. And then last but not least, I want to mention Todd Rundgren, with a song called Devil's Bite.
Yeah, but you can usually get that fixed by Dennis now.
I got the Devil's Bite, man.
That's correctable now.
That's when your back teeth are out in front of your front teeth. Anyway, I have to go to the dentist soon. So thanks for reminding me. I appreciate that. Anyway, Matt.
Have you gotten a checkup lately?
Melanie. Yeah, it's coming. Matt and Melanie, everybody.
Well, thank you so much.
Okay, thanks, guys. Everyone, please do yourselves a favor. Go laugh your ass off watching the Bits and Bytes cartoon show. Yeah. Bite it up. And happy Halloween, right?
Happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween.
Everybody.
Thank you.
It's the best. Thanks so much, guys. If you enjoyed this here podcast, you should check it out wherever you get podcasts. Subscribe at all the different places that you get podcasts. Find us on the social medias. Interact with us. Vote for the bonus track of the week and all kinds of other stuff. All kinds of fun we're having on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Threads.
Ooh, Threads too.
Yeah, and go to YouTube and check out the LA Frankenstein channel. I'll put the link up to all that stuff, all the cool stuff. All right.
Awesome.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Say goodbye to everybody.
Bye. Thank you.
Say it.
I'm goodbye. Bye for now.
Anyway, thanks everybody for listening, and until next time.
Peace out.
And what? What do you want to ask me? I've been dug up from the ground for 4 days now, and I need some blood.